Good morning. What's up? How's it going, man? How's it popping? A few buttons? Yeah, probably. Yeah, me too. Well, I think so. Anyways, man, this is a great day to talk today. Thanksgiving was great. I think some of us are still recovering from that turkey and pumpkin pie binge, possibly, we had on Thursday. And man, I'm still trying to wake up. That's okay. In my case, it was lumpia and rice, right? Us brown people, boy. We don't mess around. Come to one of our parties, man. You'll leave with a couple of styrofoam to-go plates and some gout, possibly. You know what I mean? Give me some ibuprofen, real quick, please. But I hope you had a great Thanksgiving day with your crew. Anybody go Black Friday shopping? Black Friday shoppers in the house? Yeah, I know Jen did, but anybody else? Anybody else go? Okay, well, I'm not much of a Black Friday shopper. I don't like to get trampled or beat up while I go shopping, but if that was you, that's totally cool. Why stay out in the cold when some Cyber Monday is just around the corner? It's 2018, people, so you best believe that I'm going to be bundled up, warm, and cozy, ready for those Monday deals. Well, this morning, we're closing out our series, Fear Not, and we've been talking about not only facing fear, but understanding it from God's perspective, because fear, it doesn't come from God. So if you ever experience fear, if you experience anxiety, you go through that worry, you go through that doubt, know that that isn't from God. It's not in God's character. And I love the verse that we use to launch this series. It's in 2 Timothy 1:7. It's going to be up on the screens, and this is what it says. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." I want us all to actually read this verse out together in our outdoor voices. Ready? Begin. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, is what the Bible says. But there is something he does want to give each and every one of us, something that replicates God's character. It has God's name written all over. And in 2 Timothy, it says that he gives us a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. So all that negative self-talk that we keep telling ourselves, the "I'm a mess up, I can never get it right, I can't do it, I can't live up to him, or I can't live up to her." Sorry if I didn't let you guys know, if you guys have the You Belong app, if you just exit out of the app and kind of reset it and bring it back up, the message notes will be there this morning. The negative self-talk that we give ourselves sometimes. "I can't live up to him. I can't live up to her." We kind of do this social media thing, right? It's kind of rampant with students and with adults. We do the comparison game. Our family, or we can't live up to them, not God. It's not in God's character. The "I'm never going to be good enough," or "I don't deserve to, dot, dot, dot." It's not God. It's not aligned with his character. Have you ever said to yourself, "Man, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm losing control. I'm losing my mind." That's a chaotic, unbalanced mindset. Just notice how opposite that actually is from the character of God to our sometimes knee-jerk, our first reactions, because when our tendency is to live down and fear, God desires to actually bring us up with power and love and a sound mind. The Bible's translation of those words, "sound mind," it literally means a total frame of thinking that's been revived. A total frame of thinking, a mindset that's been revived. It used to live down here in the dumps. It used to be kind of dead here on the side, but God revives your mind, is what the Bible says. A mind that's been rescued, a mind that's been delivered. Imagine how you would walk out your week if you had a revived mindset, a mindset that gave you purpose, a mindset that didn't live down in the dumps, but it actually lived above, not only with positivity, but it lived with power, God's power. Imagine how you'd walk out your week with your spouse. How would you walk out your week with your kids? How would you walk out your week at your job? And trust me, I get it. For those, I know that we have some visitors here today. For those who don't know my story, I'm the student ministry like person here at the church, but I'm also a hospice nurse. So I walk into some really hard situations, okay, on a daily basis. Walk into a room filled with families where they're asking Josh, why? Why did this have to happen to my dad? Why did this happen to my sister, my aunt? Why does she have the diagnosis of only living for 6 more months? Why did this happen to us? And trust me, if I don't walk into that situation with God's grace on me, with a revived mindset, I bet you I'm going to be in a world full of hurt if I drag a lot of those things home, yeah. Right? And I'm sure maybe with your profession, your vocation, maybe you might deal with some of those things too. So before I leave to visit my patients, I literally stop. I go palms up in my car. It's a sign of surrender to God. God, would you please help me to be the nurse that my patients need today? God, help me to be the pastor that my students need today. Help me to think clearly, God. Give me your mindset. Help me to think how you want me to think. You might find that helpful if you were to start your day that way. If you were to start your day with whatever profession, whatever vocation, you might just be a parent and you need that kind of grace every single day. God, help me to think clearly today. The Bible says in Proverbs, this is not in your notes, okay? It's something extra. You don't have to pay for this. The Bible says in Proverbs, I love this verse, 12:25. It says, an anxious heart actually weighs a man down. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Literally, the things that you worry about, the things that are on your mind, that you constantly let yourself worry about, it holds you back. You can't operate at your best when you operate with an anxious heart, constantly worried. Your sight is focused on what's wrong rather than all the great things that you've been blessed with. And like what Proverbs says, it actually weighs you down. It holds us back. This morning, I want to do kind of a self-evaluation with each person here this morning to see if you might be experiencing an anxious heart. Here's a short list of questions that we're going to ask ourselves. It's not in your notes, okay? It won't be on the screens. But maybe we can make some mental check marks this morning if you can resonate with some of these questions. You might be experiencing an anxious heart. Here's number one, an anxious heart. Are you rattled when things don't go as expected? Are you shook? Do you quake, right, when things don't go as expected? You might have an anxious heart. Do you worry about things that are beyond your control? Just constantly worrying. Things that are beyond your control. Do you lose sleep over pressing issues? It starts to hit your health, your sleep patterns. Do you lose sleep over pressing issues? Here's a good one. This might be you. Is it hard to turn off your mind? That I struggle with that one personally. Oh man, this is due this day. This is down the road or whatever the case may be. Sometimes my wife even has to tell me, hey Josh, babe, you got to put your phone away. Like this is our time, and you're not working right now. That's really good actually. Is that you? Is it hard to turn your mind off? I love you, babe. Does the unknown intimidate you? Here's the last one. Do you often imagine the worst case scenario? Do you often imagine the worst case scenario, just 0 to 100? If you said yes to any of these questions, you might be experiencing an anxious heart. You might be holding on to some heavy stuff that is just weighing you down. And if we're being honest with ourselves, I think we all in some areas of our lives deal with an anxious heart from time to time. So this morning, my heart is not only to challenge you, but to really encourage you, okay? Because peace can be found in the middle of chaos. And God desires for you to operate your life in power, in love, and he wants you to do it with a sound, clear, revived mind. So today we're talking about a peace in the action, a peace in the action. If you're going to take notes this morning, if you have the app open, totally cool, go ahead and put this down. Number one, take your mind off the what-ifs of fear. Take your mind off the what-ifs of fear. I don't know about you, but that's something that I struggle with from time to time, the what-if questions. Sometimes I allow my mind to start to drift into an unhealthy space. That might be you this morning. Thoughts that we entertain. What if this happens? What if she leaves me? What if he leaves me? What if I can't do it? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out like I want it to? And if you allow, if we allow the what ifs of fear to kind of captivate our minds, it will keep you chained. It will keep you weighed down by something that's in all accounts a figment of our fear. I could probably put it this way. It's even a figment of our imagination. We're thinking of things that actually hasn't happened yet. It's a feeling of fear. Essentially, we worry about situations or things that aren't fact, right? They haven't even happened. And let me say this so we're clear this morning. The feeling can be very real, but the truth isn't. Does that make sense? The feeling can be really real. We can feel the fear, but sometimes the truth isn't. Luke 21:14. This is what it says. It's in your notes. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. I love that. Circle beforehand. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand. Because worry never changes anything for good. Worry never changes anything for good. Worry won't change your situation. Worry won't make things better. Worry doesn't give you the advantage. It actually creates a heart that's anxious, and the Bible says it weighs us down. So this week, my challenge for you this week is make up your mind. Decide not to worry. Decide beforehand. Decide before the feeling of worry starts to grip you. Don't let it creep inside your heart. Decide before your week starts. Decide today to trust that God has you. God is in control. Maybe some of us who walked in these doors this morning, that's the one thing that you needed to hear in the situation that you're going through. You just needed to hear someone say, man, God's in control. God has you, and that's truth. Start your mornings off, man, going palms up, just a posture of surrender, getting alone somewhere, saying, Lord, man, I need you. I'm giving my worries to you today. I'm trusting in you. I will not let fear rock me. God, I am trusting in you. You see, the enemy's tool of fear, it's meant to deter us from God's best in our lives. The enemy's tool of fear, it's meant to derail us. It's meant to bring us off course. It's meant to deter us from experiencing God's ultimate best, his plan from your life. The enemy uses that tool of fear. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, I love this verse. It's such a word picture. And let me read it for you. They are like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak. They have to be carried because they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they can do no harm or evil, nor can they do any good. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your mighty and powerful name. Man, I love that verse. I love how Jeremiah, he creates this vivid word picture, this example of sometimes how we give power to something where in actuality, when we step back and we see things for what they really are, we realize the things that we give power to are actually powerless. Many times in our lives, the what ifs of fear, the delusion of fear, it's like a scarecrow in a field. That's what the Bible says. It can't speak. It even has to be carried around because this thing can't walk. It can't move on its own. Don't be afraid of this feeling because it's not real. It's a figment of our fear. And sure, it's dressed up. Sure that it looks the part. Sure, it looks intimidating, especially at night, right? When life gets dim, when life gets dark sometimes, a fear tends to look even more big. It looks even more sinister sometimes, bigger than they really are. But guess what? It can't do anything. It's just a feeling. It can't do harm. It can't do good. It's an imposter. It's not real. The feeling can be real, but the truth isn't. And that's where we're getting at this morning. I love the end of the verse that we just read, and this is what it says. There is none like you, O Lord. You are great, and great is your mighty and powerful name. When fear enters the scene, when I want to question what I'm experiencing, when I want to get doubtful about the season that I'm going through, this situation I'm experiencing, I need to understand that there is a powerful God who is in control. The what ifs of fear, that scarecrow imposter version of the story that keeps replaying back in my mind, it's going to weigh me down. But the truth that we find in God, the truth is that when we take our minds and let God revive our thinkings, it will lead us to a place where we can actually experience something called peace. Peace. And it's what God desires for you and what God desires for me. Take your mind off the what ifs of fear. Number two, go ahead and write this down. Put your mind on the promises of faith. Put your mind on the promises of faith. There's something that if we take it off, we have to, you know, be on the offense. When we take our minds off of the delusion, all right, that fear brings. When we take our minds off of the what ifs of fear, we have to replace it with something that we can actually trust. Something that is solid. Something that is real. Something that is concrete. And the challenge today is to not only take our minds off of the delusions of fear, but to place them on the promises that God gives us. For all of us, guess what? I'm sure that's a step of faith, and that's okay. Isaiah 26, verse 3, this is what it says. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I love that verse. When you trust in God, when you decide to surrender your mind to God's truth, when you say, I'm not going to entertain the scarecrow of fear, I'm no longer going to hold on to that worry, that doubt, I'm going to build my life on the truth of what God says, God's promises, he promises that we will experience something supernatural. It's this perfect peace that comes from us. He puts actually that super on our natural. He will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. A great habit that I've learned from some mentors that I look up to in this place is, you might know them, okay, is to pick a word for the year. It's kind of this tradition thing that I picked up from Center Church that I think is actually pretty helpful. Maybe it's something that you do yourself. You pick your word for the year. One word that charges you up maybe for that next year that's starting up. Maybe it's a word that that God leads you to, maybe through prayer, through some circumstance. Something that represents maybe a goal, maybe a faith step, something like that. And a couple years ago, my word for the year was the word steadfast, okay? I know it's kind of an old school word. You don't use steadfast in conversations, you know, every day, but it was my word for the year. And this is what steadfast means. It means resolutely firm. It's a strong word. It means unwavering, okay? And a couple years ago, that was my word. And the year I decided that this was my word, I was experiencing some major loss in my life, okay? I experienced some job loss. I stepped away from a couple things that were very, very secure, if you can put it that way, financially. Very secure, you know, the trajectory of the job is just very secure. I experienced some financial loss, some job loss. Then I went through some relational loss that year, okay? The girl that I was dating at the time, she got really smart. She broke up with me, all right? But now she's my wife, so ha-ha! What's up? She's right here. Joke's on you. Joke's on you, girl. I wiped that up quick. during that year, I can't be serious. I was experiencing relational loss, okay? girl, please. And then job loss, relational loss. So I felt a lot of loneliness, okay? A lot of my confidence was gone. My faith, I feel maybe wasn't as strong as I hoped it was, and I started to deter in some areas of my faith walk. Okay, I lost myself. I lost Josh. I lost kind of the essence of what made me who I am or who I was or whatever it is that makes me me. I feel like I lost that essence at that time. And I remember having a coming to God moment. I remember stopping dead in my tracks and saying, God, I feel like I'm losing everything. I feel like I'm losing myself. I need something extra. God, I need you. And I remember coming before the Lord and saying, God, I am deciding that today I'm not going to waver from trusting in the fact that you are in control of everything that happens in my life and everything you allow to happen, God, I know is good. And God, I'm going to be steadfast and I'm going to be trusting in you. And I can't explain it, okay? I can't explain it other than it was a God thing. That even when I was experiencing some major loss in my life, all right, in that season, there was this perfect peace, okay, that fell on me because I decided to trust in God. I decided to keep my mind steadfast on Him. I decided I wasn't going to listen to the fear. I decided I wasn't going to listen to that scarecrow, okay, that Abercrombie wannabe. I wasn't going to listen to that. I was going to keep my mind and my heart steadfast on God. And this peace kind of fell on me. Like I said, I don't know how to explain other than it's a God thing. And I experienced that perfect peace. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. I decided to take my mind off of the illusions. Decided to take my mind off of the doubts. And that broken story, man, I kept telling myself, oh, you're a loser. She broke up with you. You don't have a job. You got to go back to school. Like, man, you got to go back living with your parents. Like, all that stuff that kept replaying in my mind. I decided not to. That was all delusion. That was all fear. And I put my mind on the promises of faith. I put my mind on the promises of truth, on the promises of God. Thank you, sir. An evangelist and missionary, George Mueller, this is what he said. He says, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. You don't have to put yourself through that, trusting God. You don't have to hold on to the worry, hold on to the doubt, hold on to the fear. Give it to God. I know it's not easy. I totally understand. But God wants to help us with that. Here's a couple thoughts about worry versus faith. Go ahead and write these in your notes. Number one is this. Worry brings turmoil. Faith brings peace. That worry, that doubt, that's going to bring a lot of messiness into your life. Turmoil. But faith, it brings peace. Here's another one. Worry distances you from God. It puts a wedge between you and God. But faith draws you closer. Faith, it draws you closer. Man, if I hold in that worry, that doubt, it actually puts this wedge between me and God, our relationship. It actually puts me in an unhealthy space. But faith, it draws me closer. I have a closer connection. I can hear Him more clearly. Here's a last one. Worry changes nothing, but faith changes everything. Worry changes nothing, but faith, it changes everything, man. I love that. Maybe those are some declarations that you just need to put on your fridge this week. Maybe some of the things that you just need to remind yourself when you're going through that thing, when that family member has that diagnosis, when you're going through job loss, relational loss, you just need to hold on to the words of faith. Take your mind off of the what ifs of fear. Put your mind on the promises of faith. Here's the last one, and we're done this morning. Give your cares to God and don't take them back. That's the hard part. Give your cares to God and don't take them back. Man, we can give our cares. We can give our worries to God. But sometimes the struggle is not trying to take them back from him, okay? We feel the loss of control. A really common area I think a lot of people struggle with is this deciding to choose surrender over control in our life. We say, God, man, I'm gonna give this situation to you, but let me figure out how I can make it a little better, right? I have the answers, God, man. I've been through the ringer. I know. Let me draw out plan B just in case you don't got it all covered. And maybe I can make this thing work a little faster. That's my problem right there. I like things real nice and quick. I want it to be fast. I get really impatient in God's plan. And we kind of give it to God about 80%, maybe 90% of the way, but that last 20, that last 10, man, we keep it in our back pockets just in case it doesn't work out. Or just in case it doesn't work out how we wanted it to. If that's you, can I encourage you? I've been there. I've done that on multiple occasions. And from my experience, I can truly say the greatest peace, the most life-giving times, the greatest return on my faith journey has always been when I decided to choose surrender over controlling my life. The greatest times of peace in my life, the greatest times of return in my faith journey was when I decided to give control to God, control of my situation, control of my problems, control of all my struggles and my hurts. Philippians 4, this is what it says. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. That word petition basically means request. Prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I know it sounds repetitive. I know it's like, man, I kind of hearing this story again, again, again. But I think it's like that for a reason. I think sometimes we need to hear it that second, third, fourth, fifth time for us to understand. God saying, man, I got you. Trust me, I got you. Don't worry. Don't let that scarecrow of fear hold you back. Because I got you. I have a plan that's already laid out for your life. I know what's going on, and I want to promise you peace. Peace that transcends all understanding. I'm going to guard your heart. I'm going to guard your mind. I'll do it for you. Give your cares to me. Put them on my back. My shoulders are strong enough. Fully trust me to the point where you won't take them back. God, I'm giving my cares to you. God says, I got you. I got you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What areas in your life do you desire control? What do you need to put into your, man, I'm trusting God in this area right here. What do you need to put into that box? What area of your life, finances, relationships, kids, your situation, God, I'm trusting you with this. Do you need to choose surrender over control today? Are you looking for peace in the chaos, and the things that are not going as you planned? Do you need to take your mind off of the what ifs of fear and place them on the promises of God? What does that look like for you? Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this time where we can just gather in your name. I pray for each and every one of my friends this morning that might be going through some heavy stuff. Fear might be in their story, and it's been in their story for a long time. And God, thank you that you reminded us today that you don't give us a spirit of fear, but you give us a spirit of power and love in a mind that is revived. And God, I pray that over my friends today, as everybody's head is bowed, as everybody's eyes closed. I want to give you an opportunity at this time just to consider and make a decision maybe on what you heard this morning. And everybody's heads bowed, no eyes are open. I'm not going to embarrass you today. But if you're going through something heavy, maybe you're letting fear kind of rule your life, and you just want to say, you know what, I just need to surrender control to God. If that's you today, I'd like to pray for you. Could you raise your hand? And no one's looking. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that today? Yeah. I see your hand. Praise God. I see you too. Anybody else like that? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Let me pray for you this morning. God, thank you for my friends. Thank you for just for the truth that's in your word, God, that you have us. You control everything. And we surrender control over to you. I pray that you'd fill us with your power, help us to walk out this week, God, with confidence, knowing that you're with us, Lord. We love you. In your name, amen.